answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now with the arrival of the USS George H.W. Bush, this marks the first time in 20 years that three U.S. aircraft carriers have all been deployed to the region.
Those vessels carrying 15,000 sailors and Marines and more than 200 aircraft. This is an extraordinary show of force. Imagine if you're facing this, right? I mean, this is an incredible show of force by the American military, and it's centered all around the area, obviously, of the Strait of Hormuz, where you see these tiny dots that don't move too much on either side of that choke point. Now, the Pentagon says it's taking complete control of the area, most of it out in the Gulf of Oman, and that they have successfully ended Tehran's leverage on this key shipping lane.
Our blockade is growing and going global. America's military is unmatched, projecting power, denying passage to adversaries, and protecting our interest at the time and place of our choosing. No one sails from the Strait of Hormuz to anywhere in the world without the permission of the United States Navy. To the regime in Tehran, the blockade is tightening by the hour.
It is tightening by the hour. If they think it's going to get easier, it's not. They still claim that they have control of the strait. They do not. They have, apparently, according to some reports, been able to grab a couple of boats that they thought were trying to get through. I don't know if they were or they weren't. I don't know how they got through our armada to get there, but whatever. Maybe it came farther down their coastline. And they did not go anywhere past that. But what we have seen happen is that we have had our forces board a tanker that was apparently headed for the area, and we took it down. And that was good. And it was carrying, in the original reports, and again, that does not mean this is accurate, but in the original reports, it was carrying possibly missile parts, as well as parts for building more weapons. It wasn't oil. It's not clear really what they were getting out of it, but it did not make it to where they wanted it because we, our Marines, boarded it, took control of it. We'd already shot in the engine room of one ship that refused to stop when we warned them that if you continue trying to run the blockade, we will shoot your engine room. And they were giving word. They did not want to kill anyone. They were giving word, get out of your area there in the engine room because that's what we're about to hit. Now, whether or not they did or were even allowed to on that ship, maybe they were ordered to stay in there. Maybe they never were given the word while the commander of the ship did know. But that ship was stopped as it was. And yet we still have the naysayers, the negatives in this nation. Look, I'm not a warmonger. I do believe in peace through strength, which is what Trump is doing. I don't want to continue to bomb and shoot and everything. I don't want to put our troops in danger. That's where I pointed out yesterday, Lieutenant General Kellogg was talking about we might have to do like the Roman soldiers, put our soldiers in the muck and go after Karg Island. I don't think we do. I just don't think we do. Karg Island, 20 miles off the shore of Iran, is a big oil refining and, I should say, export-import terminal. But there's also a large military facility there. So it would not be easy. But we've got plenty of weapons, aerial and naval, to make sure it's not effective without a single U.S. boot on the ground. But if they decide they need to, I'm willing to accept that as a select mission. I'm willing to accept, in some cases, select missions for troops to get inside and then get back out. I'm not in favor of U.S. boots on the ground in Iran as an invasion force. No. Could it be at some point that the regime is such in disarray and the uprising is growing stronger and stronger and that they need some support? If we get to that position, I might need to reevaluate some thoughts. But bottom line is, I don't want our troops in harm's way if we can avoid it. And while we want to see a regime change, we want them to go back to the way they were before they took over our embassy in 1979, more of a Western nation in the Middle East. And it will probably require a regime change. But I'm not into nation building. Let the people of Iran decide what's best for them. And most of the Iranians, they do not want to continue living under the mullahs and the rules they have. They enjoyed being a Western nation. It could be turned into Mecca tourism all over again. But as long as the mullahs and the IRGC are in control, nope, they're not going to let anything happen that would be good for the people. I'll point out to you, they care more about their positions, their power, and their regime than they do their people. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. I'm reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. Go to Newstalk STL Rumble or Facebook, Twitter. Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast, video and audio at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. There is no reason for you to miss the program, even if you can't listen while it's actually on the air. And when we're on the air, we are streaming that video. But if you can't do it then, if you cannot watch and not listen, I understand. But know that it's always there for you. It's very interesting after a weekend. I look at the numbers. I see a lot of folks finally have a break in their schedule, maybe late Friday night, maybe into Saturday, and they are pulling up our podcast and watching and listening. I appreciate that. When you do, please push share so others can get it. Because with Larry Connors USA, you are going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. And one part of the education still to come in this hour, the latest understanding of our U.S. economy, when we have so many out there saying, oh, it's all falling apart. We're soon going to be in a depression. And then the talk about the oil and what oil is at stake. And are we in jeopardy compared to Iran and others? Let me give you a clue here. The answer is no. But I'll explain it for you coming up a little bit later, part of today's education. Now, something happened today in the White House. I do not know if this reporter suddenly came up with this question on their own and just thought, this would be a good question to ask. Or maybe they were told by their editor who sent them in there, or one of their bosses said, make sure you ask this question. They did, for whatever reason, and boy, did Trump fire back.
Would you use a nuclear weapon against Iran? You posted on Trump's social a few weeks ago.
We don't need it. Why do I need it? Why would a stupid question like that be asked? Why would I use a nuclear weapon when we've totally, in a very conventional way, decimated them without it? No, I wouldn't use it. A nuclear weapon should never be allowed to be used by anybody.
I've
ever seen, and I hope the media can go over and maybe watch them do it because I think it's very exciting.
On the war with Iran, how long are you willing to wait until you get a unified response?
Don't rush me, Jeff. Guys like you, you want to say, oh, so we're in Vietnam like for 18 years. We're in Iraq for many, many years. We're in for all the, I don't like to say World War II because that was a biggie. But we were 4.5, almost 5 years in World War II. We were in the Korean War for 7 years. I've been doing this for 6 weeks.
6 weeks. And it's so interesting how the questions come and go in the sense that, oh my God, we're going to war, we'll be there forever, we'll be on a quagmire. They did not know what was going to happen, and nor did I, and nor did Trump really know. But he had an idea based upon talking to his leadership that we can do this pretty quickly. Maybe it's not been done as fast as they were hoping. And we're approaching that 60-day statement that says, well, now Congress has to get involved to see if this is going to be a War Powers Act. We're either going to continue to support or bail out. Let me remind you of something. First of all, we don't have to do anything just simply because Congress does it. But at the same time, could Trump just simply say, we haven't been firing weapons at them for a while. You can call it a war or not, but we're not doing anything. We're just keeping ships from moving out of that area. Does that constitute war? Could be an act of war. But it could also just reset the clock. We have a new 60 days starting now.
Remember this. I want to make the best deal. I could make a deal right now. Do you know that if I left right now, we had a tremendous success. It would take them 20 years to rebuild, but I don't want to do that. I want to have it everlasting. I want to have it where they never have a chance to get it. I mean, the way you asked that question, yeah, I did say it. I thought it would take 4 to 6 weeks, and I was right, because at the end of 6 weeks, at the end of 4 weeks, the military was decimated.
So are you saying?
But now what I'm doing, I can't tell you that. I don't want to put that kind of a timetable on it, but it'll go pretty quickly. And we'll have the strait opened up. Now, right now, we have it closed. We have total control of the strait. And the fact that it's closed, you know, they would have opened it up 3 days ago. They came to us and they said, we will agree to open the strait. And all my people were happy. Everybody was happy except me. I said, wait a minute, if we open the strait, that means they're going to make $500 million a day. I don't want them to make $500 million a day until they settle this thing.
We're going to talk about how much money Iran is losing on a daily basis. Now, keep in mind, when I say Iran, we're talking about the country. Those at the very top, they're not losing anything. They're just making money still. In fact, they're probably betting on oil futures when you get down to it. But the people of Iran are suffering. Their inflation rate, if they can even find something to buy, is over the rainbow, basically. But the problem with these latest extension, and when Pakistan supposedly said the other day, give us a little more time, sir. Please do not start shooting right now. We might be very close. I look at that each time, as maybe you do as well, as probably Trump and the administration do. They're simply stalling and buying time. But if there's the slimmest chance it could bring peace as opposed to more war and death. Do you want to walk away from that? Do you really want to walk away from that? Should we do something to show that, no, we're going to come if you don't do it quickly? I'm kind of in favor of that. But the problem is, who are we talking to? Who the hell is leading Iran? Four-star General Jack King.
Well, certainly what happened with the killing of the Ayatollah and the anointing his son as his successor, that immediately produced a power vacuum, because his son, even if he's healthy, doesn't have the dominating control and influence that his father had, and his father had it through many years. And also, he's seriously injured, and I think that exacerbates his ability to take control. It's not that he isn't involved, he is. But the power vacuum was filled by the political people, represented most seniorly by Ghalibaf, who's the Speaker of the Parliament, considerably less. More of a spokesperson is the Foreign Minister, Al-Rashi. People think he really has some influence. He doesn't. But the IRGC is the dominating power. And, you know, for our audience, they're a military organization, they're an intelligence organization, they're a special ops organization, and they also run all of the defense businesses themselves. In other words, they're in total control of them. All of them are independently wealthy, travel the world in luxury, etc. And they are now the dominant influencing power in the country. And I think there's a general consensus of that. And obviously our CIA and Mossad know the specifics of this, and they're not going to reveal it. But that's kind of where we are.
Kind of where we are. And, of course, Iran knows exactly where it is. I will say this, if we know where their guys are when they're running around the world, grab them, seize them, take them out. That would be my thought. One thing regarding the situation right now is leftists would have you believe this is all crippling America. There is some pain, but not like what is probably happening in Iran.
Well, I think Iran's cash drain is a significant issue that they have to deal with very quickly. And I think that's a big motive for them to actually accept a second round of negotiations. Now, the thing is, it's not just, you know, the war that's costing them. Iran's is a loser in this war in every sense of the word and whatever angle you look at it from. Right now, we're seeing a massive effort on behalf of all countries in the region to diversify logistics and methods of transportation and energy flows away from the Strait of Hormuz without any Iranian involvement whatsoever. We're seeing a railroad project done with Turkey, Syria, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. We're seeing a east-to-west pipeline by the Saudis. We're seeing the Emiratis investing in Jordan in a railroad that will link it to the port of Aqaba on the Red Sea. And there's so much more. And every way you look at it, it's just money lost for Iran. It's money lost for the IRGC. And the only way they can, you know, try to subvert that is if they get to the negotiating table. But the bottom line is, Iran lost this war. It's the biggest loser. And what you just said with the cash drain and everything else, I think that will accelerate the Iranian people to rise up again.
They might well do it. Inflation rate, scarcity of goods. But they don't have the weapons. CIA possibly supplying Kurdish rebels to the north of Iran. It was all Kurdish territory. That maybe they will come in. Not direct forces from the U.S., but supplying the Kurds to help carry it out. How well are we doing here? Well, there's a new survey out that gives you some very solid information. I'll have that for you coming up. But before then, we have other issues in our nation, domestic issues. We have a midterm elections coming up. We have a new governor of California going to be named. And the current governor is being graded by those looking to get his job. It's not good. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I'm looking over a couple of stories here, and they're two different stories that have basically the same basic finality, and yet they come from different sources. You might think that all of the leftists are all on one side, and they know what's best for our nation. They will tell you that. Same thing like George Soros will say, Trump is a con man. I don't know who gave him that phrase, but he didn't hear it right. It should have been, you're a con man. But maybe they're trying to get in close to him and get some of the billions of money he's giving away. So be it. If you can get it, all right, go ahead and try for it. But the bottom line is, you're lying. Everything he's saying about Trump is a lie in this sense when it comes to being a con man. I have heard, I don't know how many people insist, Trump and his family are getting rich with what's going on. First of all, give me one fact. Just one. Just give me one fact of where that's happening. Not hearing it. You know why? Because it doesn't exist. Oh, he's selling Bibles, gold Bibles. So be it. No violation. I don't like it. I will be honest. I don't like it. Selling gold sneakers. You want a pair of gold sneakers? Go to it. I don't care. I wouldn't pay the money that they want for some of the Nike or Kobe shoes or whatever. I wouldn't do it anyway. Well, he's gonna be building casinos in Iran before it's over. He might, but nobody's gonna go unless it's a safe place to go. But where were you? Where were you when Joe Biden and the Biden crime family was basically, and I'll say it directly, raping American taxpayers in this nation? Where were you? What about all these fraud taking place by the NGOs that supposedly were set up, non-government agencies, to take care of those coming across the border because they needed help. And they did as they came across the border. They need places to stay, live, and have some provisions. That I understood. But the money was just dumped. Grab what you need. More if you want. Go ahead. We'll worry about it later. No accountability. This is where the left misses the point. No accountability. I mentioned earlier that the gubernatorial candidates in California are grading Gavin Newsom on the job he's done when it comes to the homeless crisis. This is worthwhile listening to. And I mentioned that Mondami is getting a pushback by some of the East Village residents who voted for him by a 40-point margin. Now they're saying, get the hell out of here. Let me break it down for you in a moment. But first, let's look at this division of two cities and what's happening. The state attorney in Democrat-controlled Maryland said he has had enough. He's throwing in the towel after saying the old line state has suffered, quote, an insane, his quotes, an insane ultra-progressive, end of quote, takeover. And he's absolutely right. You're talking about Haven Shoemaker, state attorney for Maryland's Carroll County, said that after decades in public service, he is sick to death of the policies emanating from the state capitol. He's especially disgusted with Maryland's sanctuary policies and high taxes being levied in part to pay for more services for illegals. He said, and I'm quoting, Maryland has become California on the Chesapeake. It only gets worse. It's not getting better. At some point, I had to decide to make a personal decision that it's time to throw in the towel and head for what I believe are greener pastures. Who is this guy again? He's a top state attorney in Democrat-controlled Maryland. I think I might have said the state attorney. I correct that. He is a top state attorney. And you don't get to that position in Maryland unless you're blue, blue, blue. He says, I see Marylanders giving up on the state, quote, all the time. The state of Maryland has become one of the worst outward migration numbers of any state in the country right now. So I don't know who's going to be the last to foot the bill for this spending Annapolis likes to engage in, but it's not going to be me, I tell you that. This guy was born in Baltimore in the 60s. He spent 30 years in local and state politics before becoming this position. First as the mayor of Hempstead, Maryland, 4 years as a county Carroll commissioner, 9 years in the Maryland House of Delegates, rose to the minority whip for the Republican Party in Maryland. So you can say, well, see, he's already tainted. Okay. But he said, I've been contemplating, you need a paid professional here. I've been contemplating this move for a time. But this making Maryland a sanctuary state, that's just too much. He's had enough. I'm walking away from it. Cincinnati and the former police chief, who was once sued by subordinates for alleged discrimination against white male officers, has been fired. She's a white police chief. 35 years in the Cincinnati Police Department. But they say it's become clear a change in leadership is necessary for the department to move forward. So the city manager made that statement. A scathing termination letter blasting her for what she viewed as ineffective leadership, poor communication, failing to adhere to a summer anti-violence plan. As she points out, as just one example, you admitted you did not agree with the city's summer safety program, which included, are you listening? Are you listening? Which included more police coverage in the urban core. And you admitted that I begged you to fill the police work details called for in the summer plan. She didn't do it. Cincinnati found itself under national scrutiny, if you recall, last August. Basically, a viral beatdown in the city's downtown left a woman with neurological damage. Happened July 26th. In the downtown business district, caught on video. White victims beaten to the ground by a group of black suspects. And once on the ground, they did not back off. Instead, they continued to stomp on them. One of them was that woman who was left with a life-altering brain issue. So they're saying this police chief, a white woman who was all about keeping minimum police force, not doing the job they were supposed to do. They're getting rid of her. I want to tell you about the California governor grades he's getting and what's happening with Mondami coming up in the next segment. But before I do that, I want to share this with you as far as law and order. Retired Border Chief Gregory Bovino, adding his voice to the list of those regarding Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, who had said, no one respects Border Patrol and ICE in this country. He said that epitomizes what the Democrat Party stands for. That's true. They do not respect Border Patrol. Schumer made the statement because a Senate Republican moved to fund DHS and end the government shutdown. Schumer said, America is crying for relief from high cost, and you want to add $140 billion to an agency? Nobody, two groups, Border Patrol and ICE, nobody respects in this country. Bovino said, I was shocked to hear the longest-serving New York senator say the quiet part out loud. Said Schumer is a party leader and speaks for nearly every Democrat. And they want more illegals in our nation. And in fact, the main contender, the billionaire who's likely to win the California gubernatorial election, said, if I'm elected governor, there will be no border between California and New Mexico. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. They can come and go as they want. We won't stop them. Not going to follow the ruling of the Supreme Court? That's okay for a leftist, but for a conservative, oh, you better do everything they say. Right. Coming up, before we talk more about the California governor's rating, the one that exists now, how great is our economy doing? My answer, great.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, they used to make a living off of bathtub gin. When the hippie showed up, weed was in. Well, they profit off of weakness and they always have. Now meth is a recipe for cold hard cash. Something's cooking and it just ain't right.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Over the past 15 months, President Trump has proven that the American economy is the strongest and most resilient in the world. When businesses look for the place to expand manufacturing, they drive innovation, and they hire more workers, they are decisively choosing the United States. Micron, for example, $200 billion investment in memory semiconductor manufacturing in Idaho, upstate New York, and Virginia. TSMC's $165 billion advanced manufacturing investment in America's semiconductor logic sector. Texas Instruments' $60 billion investment for 7 U.S. semiconductor fabs across 3 manufacturing megasites, Texas and Utah, are just a few examples of the Trump administration's commitment to driving semiconductor investment and bringing jobs back to the United States.
Bringing jobs back to the United States. That's what fuels the U.S. economy. How can you be against that? Well, because it doesn't fit the scenario of the left. The world is falling. The sky is coming on us. Chicken Little, Chicken Little. The remarks are not mine. That's the Commerce Secretary Lutnick talking about Micron putting a $200 billion investment. $200 billion. Into semiconductor manufacturing in Idaho, upstate New York, and Virginia. Yes, the economy is good. Can it get better? Yes. Are there people out there that need those jobs? Yes. How much they're going to be paid? I don't know. But they're going to have to make it competitive because there's a lot of semiconductor manufacturing that's beginning to spring up anyway. And it's going to be focused in Idaho, upstate New York. Do you not imagine that Idaho could use $200 billion investment? Of course it could. You want another equation to figure out how we're doing in our nation. You can look at the stocks on a daily basis. You can chase the numbers up and down. You want to be a day trader, so be it. I'll share something with you. I have been a day trader. I was better at playing poker. I was better at pulling a bluff in poker, although I never do. I always tell my poker players, I don't bluff. I don't bluff. If I'm forced to show my cards, I just misread them. That 6-5 offsuit looked a lot like pocket aces to me. I just misread it. Yeah. But I don't do any day trading. I suggest if you're doing it, you better know what you're doing. You better have money you're willing to lose. Same thing with futures. But again, I'm not a stock analyst. I'm not trying to tell you what to do or not do. But I'm just saying, be aware there will be swings, sometimes dramatic swings. And sometimes betting on a good thing is not a good idea because it may not be a good thing. The S&P 500 is another way to gauge the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, S&P 500, very big factor of what's happening with our economy. Listen to the evaluation as provided by Harry Enten of CNN.
It's a success story if you're in the White House right now, the stock market is, and you can see it right here. Okay, S&P 500 shifts at this point in a presidency. You know, coming into today at the close of yesterday, look at this, up 19%. That is higher than the average president since 2001, when it's up 15%, and way, way higher than the average presidency since 1961, up 6%. So this stock market has been up like a rocket, and no wonder the president of the United States wants to talk about it. And you'll also notice, Johnny B., when the stock market is up, perhaps Democrats don't want to talk about it nearly as much.
All right. So what are people saying about whether or not it's actually a good time to be in the market?
Yeah, okay. I think one of the reasons why this number is up, this percentage is up, is pretty simple. Just take a look here. Stock owners who say that investing $1,000 into the market right now is a good idea. You see the majority of them, 52%, say it's a good idea. I will even note that even 41% of Democrats or lean Democrats who are in the stock market currently say it's a good idea to continue to invest in the stock market. So no wonder the market is up at this particular point, because those who are in it say, hey, it's a good idea to keep investing.
Keep investing. Now, again, if you are any doubt as to what you're doing, speak to a financial advisor. Don't join a Ponzi scheme like Madoff and others have put together. Make sure you know where your money's going. But Harry Enten, again, of CNN, says, the S&P 500 is staggering 19% gain under Trump's second term. I thought everything was going to hell in the handbasket. Well, it does depend upon the stocks you're putting your money into. All right, what about the new governor-to-be for the state of California? There's a guy there that supposedly knows how to make money. That would be Steve Hilton, Tom Steyer, a billionaire. He will probably win. He's got a lot of his own money to spend. He's facing Xavier Becerra, Chad Bianco, Steve Hilton, of course, a Fox News contributor, and Katie Porter, Matt Mahan or Mayan, I don't know how it's pronounced. But they were asked in a town hall meeting, which they had the other night, these four Democrats and two Republicans trying to make the best they can because Swalwell is gone. He swallowed too much. He's out. Saying, I'm not admitting I'm guilty of the charges of molesting young women or anything else like that. I'm not guilty of it, but I don't want to go through this, and I will put my family through it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be very direct about this. If I were charged with these kinds of crimes and I was not guilty, I'm sorry. My family's going to have to go through me proving I'm not guilty. I'm not going to simply roll over and say, to save them the embarrassment, I'm just going to go ahead and accept it and say I did do it. Well, he's not accepting it, but he's stepping away from the race, indicating this is where I'm going to spend my money and time. I understand that. But these guys that claim I'm not really guilty, but I'm going to go ahead and do it to save my family going through the ordeal. You're willing to accept the fact that you're a convicted rapist to save your family or a child predator? That makes no sense to me. In a viral moment of this debate the other night, former Congresswoman Katie Porter, her campaign has been scandaled or plagued by scandals, how she treats her staff. And she said, I'm a notoriously tough grader, but I'm going to give Gavin Newsom a B on how he's been handling the homelessness. Really? A B, and you're a tough grader? Steve Hilton says, again, the Fox analyst who's been running, wow, I'd love to be in your class. Katie, if you get a B for what Gavin Newsom's done on homelessness, my goodness. In fact, he added, Steve Hilton, who is the leading contender in the race for Republicans for sure, See, I'd love to be in your race. If you're going to give a B to Newsom, I want to be part of that. That would be great. Another dark horse candidate, Democrat Xavier Becerra, former Secretary of Health, Human Services. He's giving Newsom an A. I guess he thinks he's going to get a little something, something. Why would you give Newsom an A for handling homelessness? Even if you want to say he's done a great job or as best he can, you want to give him an A? And, of course, Becerra is immediately getting a lot of hope to get help from Newsom's base. Maybe he can break with the governor and come up forward. All this because Swalwell got out. Billionaire Tom Steyer still pulling ahead in the polls. The Republicans, Chad Bianco, a Riverside County sheriff, and former Fox News host Steve Hilton, still on the board, of course. Here's how the new California governor poll ranks them. Becerra, 23%. Hilton, 20%. Bianco, 17%. Steyer, 14%. Porter, at 11%. So Steyer with looking at being at 14%. Becerra's at 23%. That's because I guess he said, I would give Newsom an A. And Steyer with all of his billions will probably try to flip that. Now that's one poll. Still another poll. This one by Political Polls itself states Hilton at 18%, Steyer 16%, Bianco 14%, Becerra 10%. Didn't pay off for him in that poll, did it? Porter 8%, Mahan 4%. And then the new California governor poll by a group called Political Polls. Hilton 20%. That's a win for the Republican, former Fox analyst. Becerra and then Steyer. Steyer, despite the billions, not coming forward. But again, the grades that they were giving Governor Newsom for how he handled the homelessness, this is the candidates himself. Becerra giving him an A. Bianco giving him an F. Steve Hilton giving him an F. Katie Porter, a B. Tom Steyer, the multi-billionaire, said, oh, I won't give him a B. Matt Mahan says a B. So be it. In the meantime, the East Village residents who voted for New York Mayor Mondami by a 40-point margin have filed a lawsuit against the New York City Supreme Court because Mondami is planning, one of his plans is to create a place, a refuge for the illegals in New York City area. And the fact that these folks have turned on Mondami, where he won a 70% victory over Cuomo. Senator Ted Cruz summed it up himself in a post to X. Whoops. Whoops. That didn't work out the way we planned that one, did it? In the meantime, what is happening with our oil? And do you know the differences in oil? I want you to have a little primer on that. It's part of our education project. But first, Stephen Miller of the White House on how valuable the oil is to the U.S. and the world economy.
President Trump knows something else. He knows that American oil is the most important currency in the world. And that is why when he came into office, he unleashed American energy as never before. And that's why you see all of these ships coming to America empty and leaving laden with American energy.
Yeah. Lee Presser, who is a constant listener to the program, and he wrote it to my private email. Shouldn't have used the name. Maybe if so, I've already done it. I apologize. I think a lot of Lee Presser, and I think he does of me. But either way, if we have differences, that's okay too. But he sent me a copy of a piece called Iran War Winners and Losers Regarding North American Energy by Peter Zeilin, Z-E-I-L-I-N. Z-E-I-H-A-N, Z-E-I-H-A-N. But according to Zeilen, the U.S. and U.S. consumers might well benefit immensely from world oil conditions. And part of it has to do with the quality of the oil. Crude oil differences are defined by density, light versus heavy, sulfur contents, that would be sweet versus sour. The light sweet crude is more valuable, easier to refine in high demand products. Gasoline, heavy, sour crude requires more complex, expensive processing. But we do it better here in this nation than anywhere. Now, Canada has been building a pipeline, but it's going to be dealing with an oil that's going to have to have a new refinery built because they're not going to be able to keep up the capacity if they do so. Then, of course, you have the West Texas and Brent crude oil. The difference between light and heavy crude, again, it's the density. The oil of a lower density, the lower the density, the easier it is to be refined into gasoline or diesel fuel, which is happening on a constant basis at our plants along Louisiana and the rest of the coast. Now we're getting a lot of oil from Venezuela. A lot of that's going to be a heavier content, will have to be refined differently, but we're prepared to do it. It does require more complex refining to be useful. The oil coming out of Iran would require more complex refinery effort. And we're rich in sweet, light, West Texas bent crude, basically. And that doesn't even count what we got off our shores. It doesn't count what we've got in California, where they have been restricting oil drilling, nor Alaska. This choke on Iran and its oil will definitely benefit our country. Join us Monday. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.